I guess they've left it up to me today to introduce a speaker. And so I'll introduce him. Our speaker today has been pastor of his church for 17 years and 4 months. He has 4 beautiful children who all look like him. He has a beautiful wife, and some say he's pretty good looking. But he's been at this church for 19 years, excuse me. He's getting older and more forgetful, but he's still a good pastor, and so I want to introduce him. I'll go get him. You've been a very good church to me, and we have enjoyed it, and we thank the Lord for it. Look, if you will, in Titus chapter 2, and we want to talk about the hope we have in Christ. In Titus chapter 2, we looked at a couple of verses last Sunday morning. We'll just mention them briefly. But Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. The world believes in evolution. Their idea is that it's been billions of years to evolve to bring everything into existence. And I guess it took us millions of years to evolved to become the human beings we are. We started at something little and just evolved over millions and millions of years, and now here we are. I guess we can't observe it now. I don't know if we're still evolving or what is their future plan. But something people never stop to think about in regard to the evolutionist view of life. It's really a sad lot because it involves nothing but death and disease. Death and disease, dying and death and dying and on you go. If you think about the millions of years it took for us to evolve, according to them, it's been nothing but death, 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 disease and suffering and pain to get where we are. And apparently, as I look out, it don't seem to be we're a whole lot better. And then I guess their view is it's going to be millions and millions and millions more years of pain and suffering and death and all the rest. And they're so panicked that if we make the wrong decision, we're going to destroy this world we live in. And I guess at the end of that, that's it. Boy, what a bleak existence. The Bible says opposite. The Bible says that sin has marred the world that we live in. That sin came through one man, Adam. And that's why we have suffering and disease and death. Because sin has marred God's creation. But God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided a salvation and a limit to the time on this earth. God is not going to allow death and disease and suffering to just go on and on and on for millions and millions of years. That's not God's plan. We're not that old of an earth. It hasn't been that long, and I don't believe God's going to continue it on for very long. God's plan is something different, that sin, disease, and death have a limited time span. And God has a hope that's out ahead that's greater than anything you and I can ever imagine in which you'll bring it into it. I want you to notice a couple of things we mentioned last week. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's grace has brought the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come, he has died for the sin of the world, and he has provided that victory over the eternal punishment of sin. When a person trusts in Christ, they're forgiven. That is, they're forgiven of the eternal judgment that they deserve, and it's provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. I will never, ever experience God's everlasting judgment because I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Secondly, he says, teaching us that denying all ungodliness and worldly lust, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace not only provides the forgiveness for the eternal punishment of sin, but it provides a practical living on this present world in which there's some degree of victory. We will never totally know total victory because we still live in this fallen body and this fallen sinfulness, but God provides a victory in Christ. But then he says he has something more. Notice what he says in verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has a past salvation in which it's settled through Christ. He has a present work as he works in us. But God is looking forward to something future. The Christian faith is the only thing that provides hope. If I knew that all that is in front of us for millions and millions and millions of years is nothing but the pain and suffering we see, what an awful view of life. But God's view is when he saves us, he has a hope. He has something he's got in mind. He has a plan that he'll change all of this sin and all of this suffering. This hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't get into all the details of how Christ comes. He comes in the rapture to take us Christians home. He then comes back, establishes his millennial reign on the earth, and then there'll be a time in which Satan will be loosed, and then he'll bring the eternity. But I think when he looks for this blessed hope, he's looking at one big picture, and he's looking for the one thing that Christ brings and brings an end to all of it, all of the suffering. Notice the first thing he says. He calls it a blessed hope. The word hope is not wishing. The Bible never uses the word hope to mean I wish something would happen. You know, I hope it will rain tomorrow. I'm wishing it would happen. But the Bible never uses the word hope. It uses the word hope to mean it is sure. It is an absolute certainty that Christ is coming back and establishing something much more beautiful than you and I can ever imagine. And so when the Bible uses the word hope, it means it is sure. You can count on it. It may be another 1,000 years, maybe 50 years, maybe a little longer, but it isn't going to be too much longer. It is a certainty that God will bring an end to this world that you see. Secondly, I want you to know it, he calls it a blessed hope. Hallelujah. Blessed. The word blessed means just happy and wonderful and great. I don't know about you, but I enjoy the life that I live, and God has been very gracious and been very blessing of my life, and I've enjoyed it and will continue to enjoy it until he takes me home. But deep down in my heart, I know this isn't it. I know that I have a hope of something much greater, something that is a wonderful blessing, something that is beautiful and grand and great. And I'm looking for that hope. So we have a certainty, and it is a blessed thing. I want you to notice the third thing. He says we are looking for that blessed hope. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking for it. I'm going to tell you something. I guess as a pastor, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. I remember when I was in high school, and I mentioned before there was a young fella that we'd actually just gone out the night before. And we'd gone out together and went places and stuff, and we were fairly good pals. And the next day, the ambulance came through, and he'd been electrocuted, taken out of this earth. I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he was gone. I was a young man. He played on the basketball team for me, and that was a very jarring event in my life. I think of other things. I think of people we've lost and all the suffering. And you know, your explanation for it all will be just, well, what's wrong with God? No. God's planned something much better, and in his grace, he allows sin and suffering to be here. But one day, God will say, that's enough. And the blessed hope we are looking for. This word looking means to long for it. We're looking for it. We're excited about it. We're ready for it. You know, as I get older, I'm looking forward to Christ coming back. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to the blessedness that will be ours. It isn't just the here and the now. No wonder the world is so concerned about the here and now, because that's all they've got. They have no hope. But I've got a hope, and I am looking forward to it. And so he says we're looking for that blessed hope. And notice how he says it. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That says it very clearly that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. He is the great God and the Savior. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but Jesus Christ is God, the second person of the Trinity. He is Almighty God, and when we see Him, we're going to see Him in His beauty and His majesty, His grandness. He will not be as people speak of Him today. He will be absolutely, you will see the eternal God, the Creator of all, the One who's in charge of everything, the One who knows everything and has everything under control. You will see God and His absolute fullness. I'm looking forward to that. You know, sometimes when people go to see a concert or see some event and see someone famous, it's kind of thrilling. Well, I'm getting ready to see somebody a whole lot more thrilling than anybody here on this earth. And that's Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says, our Savior. I'm looking forward to bow and say thank you, Jesus. I'm here not because I'm a good person or because I've lived a good life. I'm here because Christ came and was punished for my sins, and I put my trust and my faith in Him. And thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing me to this place. Thank you for bringing me to heaven. Thanking me for bringing you to this great hope that is ours. Let me tell you something about the Lord. God has a past plan that He settled the punishment of sin through Christ, and it's ours. We can enjoy it every day. He has a present work, but that's not the end of the story. He has something way wonderful in the future. You don't have to turn to Revelation, but I want to just mention two or three things that Revelation talks about. When the Bible talks about the new Jerusalem coming down, I believe that God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, free of all sin. The new Jerusalem, the present heaven, is going to come down, be above the earth. We're going to have access to both. And one of the things the Bible says, we're going to have a restoration of some marvelous relationships. I've been here for 19 years. I've seen a lot of special people go. You may not think so, and I'm not going to say all their names because we'd be here too long. But I tell you what, I've been their pastor for 19 years, and I've loved every one of them. I miss a lot of them. I think about them a lot. I could take you name by name, and I could tell you a laugh here and a joke here and a pleasant experience here. I could just take you through all the dear saints who I've known for 19 years who've gone on to heaven. Boy, they were a special group of people. Some of them were a little cantankerous, but that's okay. They loved the Lord and were very special people. And you know what I'm looking forward to one day? I get to see them again. There's going to be a restoration, Revelation talks about, in which God will be our God, and we will be His people, and we will enjoy Him, and He will enjoy us, and He calls us His people, our people. We're all part of that same family. We're going to get to enjoy heaven. We're going to get to enjoy one another. You say, preacher, will we know one another? Yes, I think we will. Because God's going to resurrect this body. I'm going to know you. I'm unique. You're unique. You're the person that you are. And God is going to raise this body from the dead. And we're going to be glorified without sin. But we're going to be us. I don't know if I'll still tell jokes, but I probably will. It's going to be fun. I'm going to get to see my daddy, who died suddenly when I was 28 years of age and has been gone. Never got to see my grandchildren, never got to see my children. I hadn't got to see my grandchildren yet. I'm just, well, that's something else if I've seen my grandchildren now. But anyway, got to see them. He got to meet Deanne, but you know I'm looking forward to seeing him. My mother suffered with Alzheimer's for 10 years, and when she passed away, it was just peaceful. And all I could think of for all those years, she didn't know anything. She didn't even know me, really. And all I could think of is when she passed and she left this earth, she knew everything then. She got to see the Lord. And one day I'm going to get to see her. We're going to get to see one another. Let me tell you something about the Christian faith. It's a here and now, but it's also a future. And I'm looking forward to it. Revelation says we will not only be free in relationships, but sin will be removed. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sin. You won't get mad anymore. You won't be jealous. You won't be envious. You won't have to hold a grudge against anybody. You'll be free from sin. You'll be able to act like you're supposed to. You know, Christians don't always act like they're supposed to. That doesn't negate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God still is working on them and molding them and shaping them. Some are Christians and some are not. But whom he's working in, I can take you through all the people in the past, and I can see God's grace as he worked in each and every one of them. And one day we're going to get to just enjoy ourselves, and there'll be no sin. There'll be no pride. We'll just enjoy one another and fellowship with one another. We'll get to know the Lord. We'll go down to the earth. We'll get to enjoy and serve him and all those things, and there'll be no hindrance of sin. None. None. You won't be marred. You'll be perfectly who you need to be. We'll be loving and kind and complimentary. We won't talk about one another. You won't be on one side of the heaven and say, "Did you see that Tim Phillips, what he did?" And I won't get grumpy at you, and you won't get grumpy at me. We'll be nice and sweet and wonderful and great. You know why? Because God's taken away sin. And it will be perfect. And then there's a third thing he says. He says he will remove suffering and pain. No more Advil. No more Tylenol. Sometimes I can't sleep and I have to go in and get a Tylenol. Won't have to go by Walmart pharmacy or the other pharmacy I go to sometimes. Won't have to go by there and get medicine. It won't be there. In heaven, because there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, nothing will hurt, nothing will feel bad, you won't get tired, you won't lose energy, it's just going to be one wonderful experience with no more suffering. I look at things that go on in life, and I think, I have no explanation other than I know what's coming. I know what's coming. I honestly don't know how people make it without God. Because if I didn't have that hope of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, what is the point? It is something we are looking forward to. This grand and beautiful experience with God forever and ever and ever. If you study the scripture, you will find that God doesn't want us just looking for heaven and doing nothing here or being miserable here while we wait for heaven. No, God's grace provides something good and qualitatively in our life. He gives us eternal life that is something wonderful and grand in this life. But he always says, you know, it's not the full expression here. Sometimes people say, why do people suffer when they die? I don't know. I do think one of the reasons God allows us to see the fruit of this world. If you're banking all your life on this world, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Because this world will offer nothing eventually but suffering and pain and problems. But God is preparing something great. Do I want to go now? No. I want to enjoy my life here. I plan to enjoy it as long as I can, but it is that hope. And he says we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Anything I need is going to be in heaven. If I don't need it, it won't be there. We can never imagine from our human perspective heaven because we still look at it through human eyes. But I can assure you that it will be billions and billions and billions and billions times better than what you could create in your mind as the greatest thing there is. It will be grander than you can ever imagine. When John the Apostle tried to write about it in Revelation, he had to grasp for words to try to communicate what God is preparing for those who know him. I have a hope. I'm glad that we're not evolving. I'm glad I don't have to look down the future and go, my, millions of years of nothing but death and suffering and evolution. And I'm glad I don't have to look back and say millions and millions of years of death and suffering and all. No. It came into being by one man, Adam. But it has been a limited time. Is that preacher? I believe we've been here millions of years. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry that's your view of God. That God is such a mean God that he would allow sin and suffering to last for such a long time. That's not the kind of God I know. I can study the Bible and tell you that we are a young earth no matter what they say. Sin, and if they say we've been a long time, then they've been saying we got death and suffering for a whole long time. God's not that way. It's been a short time. In light of eternity, it won't be that long because God is preparing a home. And he's going to wait till the last person trusts him. So we'll say, now heaven's ready. I'm ready. I'm looking forward for Jesus to step out and come back. And all the world will see it and they'll know he is who he is. How about you? You ought to live every day knowing that God is with you, God loves you, but the end of the story is not today. No matter how good it is today or no matter how bad it is today, that's not the end of the story if you know Christ. There's something greater.